What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another dope episode of Creative Conversations, where two artists get together and just shoot the shit for a little bit. A little bit of housekeeping. You can find this show on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Go ahead and just rate it 5 stars, follow the podcast, so that way we can build up in the algorithm and everybody else around the world can hear these dope conversations we're holding here on this program. Tonight, we have a very special guest. This young lady comes out of North Carolina to bless us with her grace in Atlanta to tell us a little bit about food, to tell us a little bit about her story, to be able to engross you in her experience. And also will make sure that if you have a story to tell, she will definitely keep you covered and make sure that everybody knows how dope you really are, just as she is. Give it up for Nicole Ocean. How you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being on the show and gracing me with your presence. You're usually pretty busy, forever posting. I'm like, dang, there's always a new place to eat, and she just wants me to spend my money every time.
Hey, outside, okay?
Nah, for sure, for sure. So before we get started, tell the people just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Nicole. I am a content producer. I do that full time for a company called Flex Jobs. And then in my spare time, I run my own brand slash business doing content production for other small businesses in the area in Atlanta. And then I also am a huge foodie. So I run Sharing the Table, which is a food content platform, I would say. I do food photography, I do videography, specifically short form videos, but I'm also getting into long form in the near future. So that's pretty much where I'm at.
Love to see it. So we're gonna get into all of that today. So let's take it back from the beginning. I saw on your website, at first I saw your craft behind your post, you know, not just the videos, but when it comes to the art style of really giving us a look, like, lack of a better term, a taste of what you're experiencing through your photography. And your style of photography is very clean, and at the same time it's more blogish versus magazine-ish, so you give us like a true experience through your still work. Tell me a little bit about your photography background and how you kind of got started in that, along with videography.
Okay, yeah, so like most people, I started shooting on my phone first. That was what was easily available to me or most accessible to me. So I started there, you know. I started doing like just little things, just taking pictures of my food. Occasionally I would do recipes, and so that was like a whole different thing back then, you know, years ago. It was called Phenomenal Fuel. And so, yes, but once I started working full-time as a content producer for Flex Jobs, I started to shoot a lot of YouTube videos for them. And, you know, I was doing hundreds and hundreds of videos, and so, like, early on in that process, I was like, okay, I'm gonna need to upgrade on the tech side. Like, we needed some really crisp content, you know, especially when it came to mics and the camera itself. So I got my first little starter camera, and from there I was like, okay, I have all this equipment now, I should probably get into my bag, you know, and use this in my spare time too, if possible.
I hear that. I can definitely relate, just from my photography background as well. I remember when I started, phones, I didn't have like the smartphone. I didn't have the iPhone or different things like that yet. You know, I had more or less your test touch screens with the little slide keyboard type shit. And it wasn't, you know, the type of camera that you would want to use, but I didn't really know how much I wanted to be involved in photography. I knew I wanted to do it. But once I really took that leap, I went to Best Buy. Me and my brother, we drove to Best Buy. We're in Columbus, Georgia. And I remember telling the clerk, I was like, I want the Nikon D3000. And I remember her face lit up and she said, and I was kind of surprised because, you know, I'm figuring, you're going to be like, all right, let me just go ahead and pull the camera. She was super hype, and she was like, well, you know, you knew exactly what you want, so I know you know what you're doing. And I, in my head, I was like, I don't. But, you know, we're gonna learn, you know. But I knew that getting that and then building on top of that, I know I wanted my work to be better. And even with the show, it was like it started on my phone. And then, okay, let me get the mic. Let me get the computer. Let me get everything that I need so that way build better quality. So I can definitely feel you on that for sure. Want to represent yourself in the best way possible. But I always believe in starting now and getting it right later.
Mm-hmm, totally.
So with that photography background, you started on your phone. You have collaborated with your day job. What kind of inspired you to really tap into your art form?
Ooh, so much, you know, growing up, like all the women in my family were cooks, you know, really excellent cooks, self-taught, of course, you know, just through the generations. And my sister went to culinary school once upon a time, and we grew up watching Food Network, the Travel Channel, and I kind of fell in love with it. And it's always been like something that I knew I was super passionate about, but never really knew how I was going to make a living out of it one day, or how that could be like a long-term dream or goal of mine. And so once I got older, you know, I went through a process of healing and really sat with myself and my thoughts and, you know, figured out, what are the things that I really like? What are the things that I'm super passionate about that I could really do for the rest of my life? And, you know, food and capturing the entire dining experience from beginning to end, and also telling the stories of the people who are behind that is really just everything that I want to do in life. And so that inspired me to get back into creating content and putting content out there, because for a long time I was not.
I hear that. I hear that. Sometimes we have those moments in life where, you know, not to speak for you, but sometimes we kind of feel stuck. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we, like you said, you want to sit and figure it out. You want to be able to kind of piece the things together. And you're very fortunate, and I can admire that, that you were able to recognize that you need to sit and reflect on that. Sometimes our egos don't allow us to do that, and then we continue to dig a deeper hole. So I commend you for being able to take that time with yourself and say, self, and you were like, huh, what do we need to do that's different?
And no, you that's spot on.
Yeah. So I can definitely appreciate that. I know you mentioned that on your website that, you know, you did a lot of healing before moving down here, and then being able to spread your wings and express your gifts onto others based on how you healed, so that way they can be represented well also. So it's definitely like a good not just a pitch, but also it just feels very honest. That you truly do,
you know.
So I appreciate that. So I mean, going into it, you know, and of course we never have to go super deep, but just want to kind of get a sense of some of the challenges you did face that you had to sit with, and how did you decide to overcome them?
So, you know, I'm an open book when it comes to this. And my whole thing was mental health. I had severe depression and anxiety, tag teaming like daily. So if you know what that's like, which most people do, it can really, really put you and keep you in that stuck place. And that was my reality for years on end, you know, having depressive episodes on and off, and just being like so kept down by my past traumas from childhood and, you know, just all the things that make us who we are once we get older. And, you know, reflecting on some of those things, I was really like, okay, social media was just not okay for me at the time. I would scroll, comparison, you know, all the comparisons, you know, and just being like, I want to be doing this. I want to be putting the content out. You know, I would love to be doing what they're doing or have what they have. But I'm not in a place where I can even think about, okay, leaving the house, number one, going out somewhere, capturing the content, interacting with other people. Like, I feel like it was just something that was not a reality for me at the time. And so I knew that if I wanted to get to where I really wanted to be, it was going to be a me versus me situation. And it was really life or death for me at that point. And I felt like, okay, I can let this take me down this year, or, you know, I can change my narrative and change literally the way that I think about life, the way that I think about myself and value myself, love myself, all the self-care things. You know, I love how you said, hey, it's wash day. Like,
yeah,
you got to take care of that. You got to take care of yourself. So yeah, that's huge.
No, I feel that. That's a blessing to hear. You know, I'm a huge believer in God, and I know that sometimes when we make choices for ourselves, sometimes we don't make the best ones, especially staying in like a depressive rut. It's very easy and it's hard at the same time. And being able to sit back and just let go, and then being able to be provided that perspective. And you, again, you were at a point, and I always believe that you have to make a choice. You're going to hit rock bottom. And what I mean by rock bottom is like, oh, your life is in shambles. It doesn't always have to mean that. It just sometimes it means you're at a place now where you have to make a choice. Are you going to go or are you going to stay? If you stay, you know it's familiar. You know that it's going to take work to go. So sometimes we choose to stay a little bit longer than we should. But then when you decide to actually go and actually move, now you want to put in the work. And the more work you put in, the freer you feel, the easier it gets. You feel like you can breathe.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Everything sounds different. Everything feels different. Everything looks different. And your perspective changes. And when your perspective changes, your environment changes. You know what I mean? So again, very proud of you for that. You know, I know we only know each other via email, but I can just see it. I can see it through your work. And then being able to speak to you now on it, it definitely continues to inspire me to continue to push, even when I have some of those hard moments creatively. So again, I thank you for being able to share that with me on the show and for other people to hear who are going or possibly going through those moments right now. Now they know that somebody else has done it. They have to work for it, and now they have to work to show for it, and now they can do it themselves.
100%. That's a huge part of everything that I'm doing. Like, I really want to continue to tell that story and let people in on that background, because everything that I'm doing now is truly a blessing and truly because, you know, I really wanted that for myself, and everybody can have that. You know, I knew that there was space for me one way or another.
I hear that. And speaking of, you know, creating space to tell stories, you take time to tell other people's stories. You mentioned short form a little bit. So let's get into Nicole Ocean Productions. First of all, I like that name.
Hey, thank you.
I really
you.
Like that name. I feel like, and I mean, I'm not, no hyperbole, I hear waves. You feel what I'm saying? And then you go on the website and you get to see peace and tranquility in regards to how you want to present yourself. And you present yourself as the homie. Hey, let me go ahead and talk to you right quick. You know, Nicole Ocean, man, I moved from North Carolina. I came down after healing. Now I'm in ATL and I want to be able to do this for you. What? You're not in the same city? I can be remote for you. So again, I do my research. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really appreciate your work. So you came down and you decided to go ahead and show people what you do. You decided to say, hey, these are the things I can do, video production, photography production, and the list goes on. And then you also show proof of this in the pudding with your food photography, like near the bottom of the first page. When it comes down to Nicole Productions, give me the background on how that actually got started. I know you covered the healing piece, but what is the other part to actually put in the work to do that?
Yeah, so sharing the table was kind of already a thing at that point. You know, I knew that I had that I loved so much and was going to be my future one day. But at the same time, I had this whole other passion for connecting with and, like you said, telling the stories of other people too. And so I wanted something and needed something that was kind of going to encompass all of that.
Okay.
Under one umbrella. And so the goal is to also eventually have like a whole food series, you know, and not only have my content hosted on that, on my website, but also have content for other people that I've produced. I already have my portfolio up there. You can see some of what I've done. But at the same time, Nicole Ocean Productions is really If I were to, which I did, sit down and think about, okay, who is Nicole Ocean? What does that look like? How is my future and highest self going to look, and what is she going to do? And Nicole Ocean Productions is going to be a whole production house where not only my content is on there, but content is produced for other people, and so people can come and see the cuisines and the cultures and whole stories of other people too. And hopefully I can be as big as some of the biggest names out there. One of my biggest inspirations is Anthony Bourdain, and yeah, he's had so many series, one after another, on huge networks, and I would love to be in that same bag.
You will be. I can
Thank
hear
you.
the no, you will. I can hear the passion. I can see the passion even before meeting you. I definitely believed in your product. I believed in and your message. And you actually took me by surprise as I was doing, just doing my due diligence. Let me figure out if Nicole wants to be on the show and let me do my research. And when I saw how multifaceted you were, that intrigued me. So I'm like, oh, this person doesn't play, so I need to come correct when I speak to her. So I automatically respected your work and respected you based on how you presented yourself before even having a conversation. So with that, I definitely can see you being on bigger networks or even creating your own network if you get ambitious enough to be able to just start it for yourself. If nobody else is going to pick it up, you do it. And then they're going to want to latch on to, you know what I mean? Oh, wait, hold on, Nicole Ocean. I like that network. It's like right after OWN, I turn my channel, it's Nicole Ocean. You know what I'm saying? So, or have an app because who watches TV? So
Streaming.
going back into it, kind of explain some of your favorite aspects of your business, as far as what you produce and how you provide things for your customers or your clients.
Just providing that one-on-one experience where, I love to know everything there is to know about their business so that I can best capture it. I've done a couple of websites, I've done graphics and branding materials, and my ultimate goal right now in the immediate future, or short-term goal, if you will, is to start to connect with restaurants to produce content for them, menu photos and things like that, and really create long-term relationships out of that and be somewhat of an integral part of the community, especially here in Atlanta.
Let me ask this, because Atlanta is a huge market, and not to say that it's oversaturated, because I believe what's for you is for you. So, when you wanted to choose a new place to really spread your wings, why choose Atlanta?
So I had only visited Atlanta maybe twice prior to moving here, throughout my whole life. And each time that I came here, it was just a different vibe. And being from North Carolina, or being in North Carolina for so long, because I was a previous Army brat too and had moved around and experienced different cultures, different people. I have friends from all over. Atlanta really had that like home feeling, and it felt good to come here and go anywhere in the city and know that everybody around me looks like me. And yes, and to also experience so many different events going on in the city at one time, on any given random day during the week, every week. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
People are really outside here, especially during the summer. Every time it gets cold or rainy, we inside. But I still love everything about this city, and I could really see myself here forever.
I feel that. I feel that. Bill, being from Atlanta, I want to say you're welcome. I'm happy that we were able to give you that experience every time you
Thank
visited.
you. Thank
You know what I'm saying?
you.
You know what I'm saying? ATL shot me on talking about Nah, let me not do that. Let me keep it professional.
You do. I love it.
But no, but that is dope that the city resonated mm-hmm. with you, because I mean, you got plenty of places. I mean, everybody loves California. A lot of people like DC.
Yep.
You know, there are a lot of places of culture, but there is something just special about Atlanta. It's high.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people here. Everybody always says you need to go back where you came from, but there's a reason why they're here. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, place to be.
Exactly. I mean, from Outkast to, I mean, even from my time, Lean With It, Rock With It was a thing. Everybody in New York wanted to do it. Everybody in Midwest wanted to do it. Like, we have flavor here that people try to replicate, and you still get love from Atlanta. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I can definitely see how integral Atlanta has been in your process as well, be based on the stories that you do tell when it comes to the places that you do eat and that you tend to visit. And again, you make Atlanta very attractive, and that and, you know what I mean, so with that, I can tell that you have strong feelings about the city in a good way. Now, when it comes to starting a production company, and we'll get into sharing the table in a minute. But when it comes to your production company, that is a huge feat. That is that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of prayer. That takes just everything you're being to be able to say, this is what I am capable of, and I want you to believe in this like I believe in you. What advice would you give someone who is looking to start a production company in this fashion?
I know that number one, you have to have the passion for it, of course, because it requires a lot of time in front of, behind the camera, sometimes in front of the camera, a lot of things behind the scenes when it comes to editing, writing copy for captions, for the actual scripts of things, trying to acquire all the equipment for it, like, if you don't really want this and you don't see longevity in it, like all those little investments in yourself and in your future, like it's not really going to be worth it at the end of the day. And if you're going to also decide to be a part of someone else's business and, you know that you have to deliver a certain amount of things in a certain amount of time, like you have to have that time or find that time. And it takes a lot of dedication, sometimes discipline. A lot of the time, I notice that other people's businesses come before my own stuff or my own content. And that's a huge part and sometimes a big sacrifice, too.
Now, would you say that there was a little bit of trepidation when starting this? Or did you already know, like, gung-ho, this is what I want to do?
There was a lot of back and forth, like, should I really go all in and invest in myself and make this all about me, or should I also go after what I know in my heart is something that is going to be a huge part of what I want to do and why I want to do it. Other people, the community itself is really the reason that I do this in general. You know, I'm not just chasing money, although I know that that's going to come and I hope that it does.
I mean, yeah, I feel
it. You already know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I crave that level of success and that amount of money because I really want to be able to give back and I really want to be able to change things around me and be able to uplift and elevate other people, especially, you know, directly in my community.
Well, you've done it here. If I've already said it 50,000 times, you're uplifting me.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. And again, I definitely want to say, having something like this, this is like your baby, right? So you express a certain level of vulnerability behind your art. And sometimes it can definitely be nerve-wracking because, again, you're put in the hot seat of you are trusting me with your baby and you are trusting me. You're investing in my perspective for you. You know, an elegant way to put it, and to be able to be successful for this long and seeing yourself grow in this and you're finding your rhythm. at this point, you're just going to be teaching or being special guests at like colleges. You know, you can go to Clark Atlanta right quick and be like, oh, you want to get into this? Go ahead and talk to Nicole Ocean right quick. She's going to come and give you a little seminar, and she's going to make sure that you have flavor behind your work. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So
yes, honestly, that's the goal. And I love being able to connect with people and network with people. So
no, connection is all about sharing. You share your talents, you share your perspective, you share your kindness and your personality. And you know what else you share? The table. We're going to get into sharing the table. So first of all, tell me about the start of Sharing the Table, and tell me about the name of Sharing the Table. I'm curious on how you got to that.
Love the name, first of all. I cannot remember, like, because I was mulling it over for so long and I was going back and forth about like what I really wanted to be named. You know, I told you before that I had my thing called Phenomenal Fuel at first. Yeah. And I wanted to stick with that originally, but I knew like my three pillars for Sharing the Table were cuisine, community, and culture. And so I had those already in mind, written down, you know, laid out, but I didn't have the name. And so Sharing the Table, I felt like fit. I searched it. I looked it up. I'm like, all right, I know somebody has to be doing something under this name already.
Right.
Nothing, you know? And so I think what I found initially was an account with like maybe 100 followers, hadn't posted in a few years. So on Instagram, it's Sharing the Table _, but on TikTok, it's just Sharing the Table.
Right.
In case anybody ever wondered that, but
oh no, shameless plug. We got it. No shame. Yeah. Just plug it. We're gonna plug it at the end too. By all means, keep plugging.
Okay. And so, Sharing the Table came first on Instagram, and you know, once it was around the pandemic time when I really started and changed my name and everything like that. And then, you know, this past year, and honestly, early this year is really the first time that I started to take it really seriously.
Okay.
I was kind of on and off last year for sure. And, you know, once I went through that whole healing period, you know, I was taking time for myself and I just was not posting. And so Sharing the Table is like, that's my real baby. Like, Nicole Ocean Productions, I feel like is my future and everything, what I'm really trying to invest in right now. But Sharing the Table is like, it's it for me.
I feel that. And I mean, again, the very first time I ever connected with your work was how, Bar and Kitchen or Kitchen and Bar?
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking for a place for brunch. And you needed a reservation, and they were like, nah, you can't sit here for like 3 days. And you know how Atlanta is. Depending on where you're trying to go, if it's super popular, you're going to be on your feet and hungry for hours. So you said, we went across the street to Howl's, and we had a good time. Y'all sat in that little nook, you know what I mean? And you had the brunch and everything, and it was dope, and it was clean, it was fun, and you sound super excited about it. But the way you went about it was interesting, because she's like, you know how you go somewhere, and then just, you can't get that reservation. We just went over across the street. And like, you're talking to the homie. Yes. And so the narration was interesting to me. So that was captivating. And again, you made the food look really good. You kind of told a story behind that when it comes to something that's relatable. And so I felt that was a bit intentional. And I was like, okay, I can feel that. I can see where you're going with that. You also have a donut spot I'm about to try soon because of you. And I saw that, and you started talking about, you know, you're looking for good donuts, and now you're, you know, doing kind of promo for it. But at the same time, you went in, you had like those donuts, first of all, were huge. Yes. And I don't know if it was like a cereal based one. I'm trying to think. It was like not Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
So they have the cereal milk latte.
That's what it was. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. I saw the latte and I was like, okay, I'm gonna try that latte for sure. I knew it was something really cereal based. Yeah. And so you made that look really good. And then I look at the still shots, and then you are having a ball each time. And you even had one video that really captivated me, because you basically talked about the reality of being a foodie and how expensive it can be. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, I got to talk to you. I got to kind of pick your brain on how you choose what stories to tell, how you want to tell, and the aspects of building those stories. So walk me through the process of going through, okay, this is what this video is going to be about. This is how I'm going to express this video, and how will it resonate with people?
I feel like a lot of creators say everything is content. Mm-hmm. So there's sometimes when I go to a place and I'm just recording anyway. Yeah. So that's kind of how things got started. But, you know, I just want to capture, okay, the exterior of the building, usually the interior. I want to show people like what it really looks like, where you're going to be sitting, the whole process of ordering, you know, talking to somebody at the front, being seated, and all of those things. And, you know, when it comes to finding a place, I follow tons and tons of other foodies in the area, of course. So we often know and share the same places with each other, or I'll see it on their feeds and I'll be like, oof, that looks really good, I'm about to go there. But sometimes I just look around and I just find what I like. And, but the salty donut was something that was like definitely hyped. Like we knew it was coming. It was something that was already popular in another state, another area. And there's tons of restaurants in Atlanta constantly popping up. Every single month there's a new place. So, excuse me. I know what I like and I try to go for that always, but I'll tell anybody, like, I will try anything twice. So, you know, whether it's a small little hole in the wall, I'll feature places like that. Sometimes I'll feature finer dining places or fine dining restaurants, and hey, it doesn't matter to me.
I mean, just going back to just featuring any place that you think is dope, you had like a you had Mexican food that looked like that was kind of like at a gas station almost. It was like very small, very low key. So it was like a gas station spot. You were like, you're looking for good Mexican food? Well, come here. And then at first glance, I was like, oh, I mean, sometimes you find those hidden gems at like gas stations or like just small communities, and you went in and the food looked dope. So, I definitely lurked on your page. I was looking at all the food, all the content. I was just picking and picking and picking on what things that I like. So, you know, forgive me if I went too deep into the content, but I mean, you even have it to where you just, not even just the food, but just the experience. You just had one recently. It's almost like you kind of got dressed up a bit and then you were just out, you know, just doing your thing, feeling yourself, and it was all good. So you just kind of just captured that environment around you too, which also makes people ask, where is that at? Where are you going? Where, you know? So I think that that's a brilliant strategy to be able to encapsulate your message towards, you know, the food and the experience, the culture, and have people just drawn in to your particular craft and your content. So with that, though, there is a lot of posting. There is a lot of research. There's a lot of traveling. Again, it can get expensive. How do you balance all of those things when it comes to content creation? I mean, I've never heard of Lemonade?
Lemonade, yeah.
Yeah, never heard of Lemonade until I saw your page. You're on TikTok. And with Lemonade, you like to give credit to where it's due when it comes to who the chef is. I mean, you have one passage from The Battery and you basically talk about your experience, but it's basically storytelling of that experience. And then you have people come out, your Twitter, your TikTok, all that. How do you balance that, and how do you drive traffic to each one?
Sometimes it's honestly a struggle because there's so many. My main focus right now is Instagram and TikTok. And on Twitter, sometimes I'll try to share some things if I'm thinking about it. But for real, on my Nicole Ocean Productions Twitter, like, I'm not really active. Even on my personal Twitter, I'm not really that active anymore. But, you know, it's really just for kicks and giggles at this point. but Lemonade is something that I found that was new and trending. And I found that, like, the aesthetic and the content itself was easier. I haven't fully tapped into it yet, and I'm not super consistent with it, but I can see that it could be something that's going to stick around and that people are really getting into now. And I'm like, this might be a good time to slide in, because honestly, I miss the wave of TikTok. You know, during 2020, 2021, whoever was on TikTok, like, they probably got in their bag. Like, if you really had any kind of decent content, like, you probably have a decent following right now.
For sure.
For sure. So, I don't want to miss the wave again because I've seen how hard it is once the platform gets saturated for you to really like pave that way. And you do have to have unique content. You have to have creative content. You have to do things that are different than everybody else because you can grow if you're just consistent and you post, post, post. But I feel like to have people take me seriously in the way that I want them to in the long term takes a little bit more. And so I'm very cautious of that, and I'm very attentive when I decide on the way that I'm going to tell the story or how much of my real personality I'm going to show in the voiceover or the way that I say things, you know. And I've had people call me out before, like, that sounds kind of weird, like that doesn't really sound like you. And it's just something that you really have to build on because, you know, some people just don't even do voiceovers at all because they don't
That's
even
true.
want to mess with it. So I really had to find what works for me, and I feel like people love and admire and are most attracted to you and what you have to say when you're just being yourself and you're really showing them who you are. So I want my content to be polished and professional, but I also realize like I have to show people me, and I really want people to fuck with me at the end of the day for me and not like see me out somewhere and talk to me for real and be like, who's that? Like,
All right.
no, like it's Nicole, and you, I kind of want you to feel like you know me already, low key.
Feel that. I can respect that for sure. You just made me think of some of the food pages that I follow that do all the date night spots. And you always hear that "Show My Love for You" song all the time. And I mean, though it's a popular track, it's smart to use. You definitely made a point to say that, you know, you people want to hear and see what you're doing. So not to take away from those people who don't say anything and just, you know, they show the ambiance and they pretty much get to the point. You take the extra step to tell the story. So I can definitely appreciate that and I can see the intention. Would you say that most of your feedback that you do get is mostly positive, or does it normally challenge you? How would that feedback come when after you post?
I would say that recently, anything from like this year that I've posted has been pretty positive. The only negative thing that I would say is that sometimes people have had a bad experience somewhere that I may have posted and said, hey, I had a great time here. It was an amazing experience. You know, y'all should eat here. And I can appreciate that. And I often dig and I'll probe for questions a little bit more and see, you know, what was your experience like? What'd you have when you were there? You know, I may go back one day and see if I can match my experience or match your experience. But otherwise, I'm always open to constructive criticism, and I think that I get that most from the people who are close to me. Strangers don't usually like I don't really get feedback from strangers that often unless it is positive. But more often than not, it's somebody who I know, it's a friend, colleagues sometimes, maybe even, but mostly my peers. You know, I think that we're good about always commenting and engaging with each other and reaching out when there's something coming up or they're hosting an event and things like that. So I love that. I value that. But at the same time, I think that once you get bigger or once you get a bigger following, people are more likely to comment their little shady, like, you know, like, and say things that they don't think you're gonna see, but you do.
She didn't like them pancakes for real. She left them on the plate while she was drinking on the mimosa.
Okay, and
Nah,
then, yeah,
it's
hey.
like, all right, well, go try the pancakes for yourself then. But
Exactly.
you said something very important. I've said it on the show before. Shout out to the homie Sloan. She taught me community over competition, and the fact that you have a community that you can reach out to and who provides constructive feedback for you in order to make you better. And then you keep that community going by going to their events, and you know, if you have any, they'll come to yours. It's vital. It's vital. It's vital. It's vital. And I just hope that anyone listening can who's in a place where they feel like they don't really have a community, find one. Put yourself out there. Reach out to people. Connect with people. And you'll be amazed how much your world opens. Because, again, you're going to find people who love what you love. And then from there, you can also learn from those perspectives. And then, again, it's only going to feed into your content even better. So
now, that's 100% true. I think that the foodie community here in Atlanta is huge, but also like pretty tight knit. And we all have our own little groups low key. But I think that it's really cool to be able to go to an event, link up with each other, capture content, and all kind of be doing the same thing and all be okay with it. Because sometimes you might go without your, you might go out with your friends or something like that, and they're waiting on you to catch a pic, and like, damn, we sitting here hungry, you trying to get pics and videos and da da da. But yeah, you're going to have your people.
Yeah, I feel that. Now I'm going to ask you a very hard question.
Okay.
And I want to apologize for this. I know that, you know, sometimes these type of questions can put a lot of pressure on people, can, you know, make you really think and kind of feel bad a little bit, but bear with me. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite spot to eat?
Damn.
Yeah.
You know what's so crazy? Like, people keep asking me this. And because I'm new to Atlanta, I don't have a favorite here yet, but one of my top favorite cuisines is Thai food. If you ask me anytime, it's Thai food. But since I've been in Atlanta, I've tried Lao food, and it just like blows my mind every single time. Street food, you know, from little pop-up chefs and things like that. And then like whole restaurants. There's a place called Snackbox Bistro in Doraville and in Duluth, and it is like the most incredible food ever. Like, I would spend my last dollar on it. So low-key, that might be my favorite right now.
There it is.
Yeah,
I got it here. Everybody keeps asking. She said she found it.
That might be the one.
There it is. No, that's awesome. And you know, I was being a little facetious, but you know, it's always hard to ask somebody who has a love for something what's their favorite in there, because you know, you have so much. Don't ask me what my favorite song is, because I don't know. I listen to so much music to the point where I was like, I don't even know who this artist is until I really dig deep. But you have definitely been an inspiration for, you know, more than just yourself, but for other people. And I know a lot of people have this question or will have this question as they continue to discover you. What's next for you? What's down the pipeline for Nicole Ocean?
I think that, so I feel like there's levels to this low key, and I'm figuring this out as I'm going, which is crazy, but you know, I started just going to places and spending my own money and capturing that. Then I moved into now finding places who are comping meals in exchange for content. But my next thing is moving into the space of actual paid partnerships and having people pay me and ask me and reach out to me to come to their restaurants to dine there and to tell the story and to capture the content. But on top of that, I'm still exploring Atlanta, so I feel like it's going to take me some time to get through, you know, all the main spots, but I'm working through it. But I think that what's next for real is going to be travel throughout the U.S. There's a lot of cities that I still have not been to, a lot of states I haven't been to. And then hopefully international travel too.
There it is.
Because I feel like it's endless, you know, the just everything, everywhere, the culture, you know, I just love meeting new people and traveling to new places. So that's everything for me. I think that's where I really want to go, and especially get into more unique content, because this is a pretty saturated market. There is a lot of people capturing food content and doing food content right now. And I want to make sure that when I'm telling these stories and when I'm putting my content out there, that it really shows that I'm passionate about this and that I really put the time and dedication into delivering something amazing for my followers.
That is amazing, Nicole. Your passion shows through. Your passion showed for yourself, taking that time to reflect and grow as a person and understand what your purpose is and diving into your purpose from you starting your production company, starting Sharing the Table, and being able to share your experience with us, to be so kind and so vulnerable to allow us in and be able to agree with you or disagree with you on the choices of food that you have, but yet still have the courage to keep going and say, I like this taste. This tastes good. You should try it, as the homies would do. With that, you also encapsulate peace. You also encapsulate love for what you do. And I also appreciate the fact that you show love to others by wanting to share their stories, even at the cost of your own, just for a short time. So that way they can feel what you feel when it comes to expressing your craft. When I tell you it has been a pleasure to speak with you, it has been a pleasure to speak with you. And I thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much. That was so beautiful, so well said, and thank you so much. Like, it's been a great chat. Honestly, you were the first person to ever reach out to me to interview me and have me tell my story. So I'm like, ooh, this is really cool right now. Like, nice. Thank you.
Oh, no problem at all. Like I said, and just like I tell everybody, we're friends now, so, you know.
Hey,
now I can tell you a place that you need to eat, and you've been, I already been there, but I can tell you what's on the menu.
Please do, anytime.
For sure. Before we head out, tell the people where they can find you.
Okay. Yes. You can find me on Instagram at sharingthetable_. You can find me on TikTok at sharingthetable. And you can, if you want to, find me on Twitter at Nicole Ocean Pro. And of course, on my website, please check out my work and all the things at www.nicoleoceanproductions.com.
And there you have it, people. Again, Nicole, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. People, you heard it here. Another dope conversation in the books. Again, this is Brock. You know, people call me Blair, but y'all friends call me Brock. And you are listening to Creative Conversations. You can find us again on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Like, comment, give us those 5 stars so we can continue to have dope conversations like this reach the masses. Until next time, people, y'all stay blessed and always stay creative. Peace.